Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming. This question, some of the adults, some of the older adults may have heard of a variation of this question before. By show of hands amongst the kids, anybody here have used Silly Putty before? Okay, so you guys might see where this question's going also. One Shabbos afternoon, after the meal was over, a guy opened up a newspaper. He opened up his Hamodia, started reading. Shortly thereafter, he fell asleep. About an hour later, he wakes up and then goes to learn in the Beis Medrash. When he comes into the Beis Medrash, everybody is staring at him. Eventually, he goes to the bathroom, and when he's washing his hands, he looks in the mirror and sees that he has the word Hamodia on his forehead. He had fallen asleep on top of the newspaper, and the ink from the newspaper was still fresh enough that it went off the page and onto his forehead. Now, some people, if you ever use Silly Putty and you try that trick on a newspaper, the stickiness picks up the ink. The human forehead, because of the oil on the skin, can theoretically do the same thing. And so he was wondering, is he allowed to wash or rub his face clean on Shabbos to get rid of the letters? What do you think? What? Ah, okay. So you're saying that just like you're allowed to wash your hands because if they're dirty on Shabbos, so too there should be no difference if that dirt looks like words. Okay. Anybody disagree with that? What? So you're saying that there is a malacha. You're not allowed to erase words. So maybe it is different. Maybe I might be allowed to wash my hands if they're dirty, or to wash my face if it's just regular dirt, but if the dirt is in the shape of words, I'm going to be erasing. Anybody else agree, disagree? Yeah.
I mean, but another thing into play is also the embarrassment that comes with it.
Ah, so. Right. So we've had this concept before in some of the earlier questions we've dealt with. Anybody remember the Hebrew term for taking people's, emotional or psychological state into consideration, especially when it comes to Shabbos? Two words, kavod habrios, exactly. So kavod habrios might also be a factor over here. Any other thoughts?
Yeah. The fact that the letters may not really have been permanent.
Okay, so this comes into a question with many malachos, and especially with writing, and its opposite, erasing, that it has to be something that can last. So the Gemara...
Does the fact that it was unintentional, that it was an accident, didn't intend for it to happen, come into play?
Right, so even if you would say that that's writing, that was completely accidental, so he didn't do anything wrong with the writing part, but the erasing he wants to do intentionally. So you're right, there was probably nothing wrong with him falling asleep, but the aftermath might be the more problematic part. So let's take these pieces one by one. So in terms of the permanence of it, so that is a major factor. The Gemara says that if you write on your skin on Shabbos, not a tattoo, but if you just write on your skin on Shabbos, that's usur, that's an isur d'oraisa. So some people ask, why? How long is it going to last on your skin? And the answer that's given, and the Gemara says, the Mishnah says this explicitly, there's nothing you can do to argue with it. So the traditional explanation is that the fact that people might rub their hand, or the oils from your pores might make it might make the ink go away over time, or sweat, that's simply viewed as an external factor. The skin, our skin, it's like leather, and if you write on parchment, it's permanent. So similarly, if you write on your skin, it's viewed as if it's permanent, even if it might not last a long time, because we look at it as if just external factors are erasing it. So if that's the case, then if you're erasing something that's permanent, then that could theoretically be a big problem. There is, however, one mitigating factor. There's one thing that makes it a little bit easier, which is there's a couple of malachos, there's a couple of activities on Shabbos that come in pairs. There's tying and untying. There's building and destroying. There's writing and erasing. Exactly. So in all of these cases, the destructive opposite, the untying, the breaking, and the erasing, we Paskin all have to be with the intent of preparing to do it better the next time. Meaning, I'm untying so I can tie it better. I'm knocking something down so I can build something better. Or I'm erasing something so I can write something better.
But you can't write on chop some
roof. Exactly. And so if the activity is designed to do something better either on Shabbos or even after Shabbos, that's what makes this activity a malacha. So when I'm erasing on my forehead, is my intent to make it better so I can write again?
No, get away.
No. So there's a good chance that this would not be an Isser de Oraisa. It wouldn't be a biblical malacha. It would only be rabbinic. It would only be a derabbanan.
Would it be a toladah erasing them?
So again, it depends on whether there's different conceptions of how erasing is usser. Some people say it has to be specifically designed or optimized to write again. And some people say, no, as long as it just makes it, you know, like a clean slate, that's enough. So, you know, in that line of reasoning, it would be a doraisa. I don't know if everybody's mafkin for that, though. If it's derabanan, we sometimes say kavod habrios allows you to do things that might even be an issur derabanan. The classic example is if you're in the bathroom and there's no pre-cut toilet paper or tissues, what do we say to do? You can tear the toilet paper not on the lines. Because if you're not tearing it on the lines, so then it's only an issur derabanan, and for an issur derabanan, we're mekil, we're lenient because of kavod habrios. So maybe we could say over here that you're allowed to scrub it off, even though it's an issur derabanan, because you're embarrassed walking around with hamodiah on your forehead. However, many poskim are a little uncomfortable to do that because we don't really know what activities we permit for kavod habrios and what we don't. So what Rav Zilberstein thought is best to do is to get a non-Jewish person to wipe the forehead. Get somebody else, get a non-Jew to scrub the to scrub his forehead and clean it. Not always the easiest thing to do. Rav Schechter has another idea where a shvus de shvus, if you do a derabanan action for a derabanan malacha, then we can be much more lenient. So Rav Schechter would probably allow you to scrub it clean with a shinui. So I don't know if you want to use like your wrist or something like that. So there are different ways you can do it, but to simply just, you know, use soap and water and a paper towel or a regular towel to scrub it clean, that wouldn't be allowed. Or we wouldn't really want to be so lenient, and instead we recommend either a non-Jew or do it with a shinui. So hopefully you should not be falling asleep on newspapers. Now, most people don't have newspapers anymore, but I want this also, aside from the halachos, to also show you the importance that halacha once again places on kavod habrios, as well as different ways to navigate the solution, either through a non-Jew or through shinuis, that we take each of those actions very seriously. Have a wonderful week.